And this became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. So after dying in a car crash, three friends go to heaven. I won't do this too often. I won't make a habit of it. And Peter asks them all the same question. When you're lying in the casket and the friends and family are there, what would you most like them to say about you? Well, the first guy responds, I would like to hear them say that I was one of the greatest doctors of my time and a great man. Well, the second guy says, I would like to hear them say that I was a wonderful husband and a father and a school teacher who made a huge difference in the life of children. And the last guy thinks a minute, replies, I'd like to hear them say, look, he's moving. Well, that's not quite how it happened in our story in Acts this morning. But after Peter was done with Tabitha, the people were pretty amazed. Last week I mentioned that the story of Acts is all about the ramifications of the resurrection. And Jesus's resurrection was the most profound thing to happen in history. And so for 2,000 years, most churches have celebrated the resurrection as the climax of their church year. But as amazing as the resurrection was, it was only the beginning of tremendous things to follow. Now, chronologically, Pentecost is actually the next big thing to happen after the resurrection. Now, as we go through, y'all know that we're still in Easter, right? This is Easter. Easter is a season, it's not a day. Okay. So we are in the season of Easter. And as we go through these stories, we have to remember that that Pentecost has already come. Pentecost has happened, and the Spirit of the Lord has come down on His people. However, every year, for the 7 weeks of Easter, we read the stories first, and then we go back, and we celebrate Pentecost, and we celebrate God coming. And what we're learning in Acts, and what this whole season of Easter is about, is this. When the Spirit of God is turned loose on the earth, anything can happen. Now, the stories of Acts are really important to us because they describe the beginning of a whole new paradigm of life. See, disciples who were once timid and cowardly, they become bold and powerful. Those who once feared for their lives, they now embrace death for the sake of Christ. Even those who were closest to Jesus, who previously struggled with belief, we now find them performing these great miracles. What is it that transforms them? It's the Holy Spirit. And so Acts, and I encourage you during this season, just go back and read through the book of Acts. Just watch it. Story after story after the one amazing story after another. And it's carefully told. And it has a purpose because it's laying out step by step how God is pouring out His Spirit on the earth and establishing His church. And through all of this, God is revealing how He is going to restore a people and the whole creation to Himself. Now, one of these amazing stories is a story of Peter raising Tabitha from the dead. And quite frankly, it comes across kind of ho-hum. I mean, there's not a lot of details to it. There's really no commentary by Luke. Tabitha is just a well-loved member of the community of Joppa. After her death, they prepare her body and they put it up in the upper room. And they call Peter to come. Peter arrives, sends everybody out of the room, prays, and then commands her to rise. And that's it. No biggie. All in a day's work. In fact, though, it was earth-shattering. This story, along with the whole story of Acts, is telling us of this new dynamic, this new order where Jesus's ministry and power is now alive in the apostles. But not only that, it's alive in his church, and it's alive in us today. So if you'll grab your handout, take a look at Acts and let me just glance at it as we're going through this. First of all, the power and ministry of Jesus is alive and well with the apostles. So here's the thing. There is no real indication that anybody expected this to happen. I mean, Jesus had raised people from the dead. Jesus had done a lot of miracles, but Jesus is gone. And no one else had raised anybody from the dead, certainly not Peter. And yet, there's something very familiar about this miracle. See, there was another healing that took place in an upper room. And the story unfolds much like this one does. See, in this story, Jesus goes to the home of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Remember the one whose daughter died? She was about 12 years old. And she's laid out in an upper room. And he comes to the house and he goes up to the room and he sends the mourners out. And in Luke's version of this story, he says this. Jesus says, "Child, get up." But the way Mark records it is interesting because Mark records that he speaks those words in Aramaic. And you know what they are? Talitha kum. See, the writer, Luke is the writer of Acts, and what he's doing is he's drawing a line between the Tabitha of our story and the Talitha of Jesus' story. And he's telling us this. He's telling us that the power that was at work in Jesus is now at work in Peter. The authority that rested on Christ is now on those whom God would call to build his church. And see, this is not about Peter taking over as the new Jesus. Peter's not stepping in because Jesus is gone. This is about Jesus operating through Peter. And here's the thing. Throughout the book of Acts, there are many, many miracles. The lame walk. Demons are cast out. Prisoners are freed. And the thing of it is, miracles like these are really important at this time. Because this is the time where God is establishing his church. See, these apostles, they would be teaching. They're going to be resolving disputes. They're going to be writing stories. They're going to be writing letters. All that, those writings are going to end up as part of our Holy Scriptures. And God is establishing in them the authority to do so. But here's the thing. See, miracles aren't merely just bursts of power that legitimize the person who's doing them. That's not what they're for. Each of these miracles have a distinct purpose. They're meant to point to something. And Jesus says as much in our gospel reading. See, the Jews come around him and they say, "Tell us plainly, are you the Messiah or not?" And what does he say? "I already told you." He probably said it like that too. He says, "I already told you." And then he says this. He says, "The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me." Each of Jesus' miracles pointed to a truth about who he was. The bread of life, the resurrection and the life, the fulfillment of prophecy. All of Jesus' miracles pointed and told who he was. And in Acts, as we see these miracles take place, they begin to show that that very same power is now being manifested in the apostles. We also see that Jesus' power and ministry is alive and well in the church, the body of Christ. See, as the story of Acts unfolds, one of the things that becomes clear is that God intends to show his power not just in the apostles, but also in the church itself. In the beginning of Acts, Jesus tells his disciples that are present before his ascension that the Holy Spirit would come. And then what would happen? It would empower them to be witnesses, first to Jerusalem, then Judea, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. We're going to hear a little bit more about that in a few weeks. But this call to witness was carried out not by that group that was just, not only by that group that was immediately there, but by more and more and more of these new believers that are spreading out across the line. See, what happens immediately following is this persecution takes place. And as it does, people are forced to flee for their lives. But when they do, they take the gospel and they take the Holy Spirit with them. And following Pentecost, the church begins to grow like a wildfire. And as it grew, it became very clear that God's purpose of the church was to manifest his power and his glory throughout the entire world. And if God was doing that in the church of that time, if he was using ordinary people to display his power to grow his church back then, we can trust that that same power is alive and at work in the church today. So do we see people being raised from the dead today? No. So how is this power manifest in the church? Well, I'll be honest, I don't have all the answers to that question. I really don't. I can tell you that miracles do exist, definitely. You spend any time involved in world missions in other cultures, that has especially convinced me. But I can tell you what I've seen, and I can tell you what the Bible says about the power of God in the church today. It's about gospel preaching that changes the hearts of people. It's about praying for our needs and the needs of others and seeing those prayers answered. It's about being strengthened in the face of hardships so that we might face them with godliness and patience. Do we see these things happening perfectly? No. But the Bible also talks about the power that accompanies the gift of faith. Power that carries us both through the joys and the sorrows. But there also is the power of grace that's bestowed through the sacraments. Baptism and Eucharist are largely mysteries to us. They really are. But we're given the promise that Christ is present. He shows up in a way that unites us to him and him to us. And there's also the power of God in forgiveness. See, remember, while we were enemies, he died for us. He forgave us. And we are forgiven so that we are made able to forgive others. And finally, in Acts 1:8, there is this power that's bestowed upon us to be witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth. He empowers us to spread His story. Jesus' power of ministry was alive in the apostles, was established in the church, and it is alive in us today. One of the reasons why I felt very strongly about preaching through Acts in this season is that it's very relevant to where we are as a church family. I mean, we stand at a crossroads. We have a time to mourn our losses, but at the same time, we're looking forward. And decisions are going to be made about the next rector, yes. However, more importantly, thought needs to be, and prayer needs to be given about the life of the church and where it's headed. And the question we need to answer is this: how does God want to manifest His power in us, in the church of the Holy Spirit? I mean, what is His plan for us to be witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth? How does He want us to point to Christ? And there's the thing. It's not about changing programs or music or whatever. Not necessarily. Those things are secondary. Some of that might need to change. I don't know. But it is more about embracing in our hearts the power of the Holy Spirit that is manifesting itself in us today. It's allowing ourselves to be humbly molded by Him. Molded into whatever He wants us to be. To go where He wants to go. See, we have an opportunity to experience something new. A new direction, a new work of the Holy Spirit, just like what was going on in Acts. Now, whenever we open ourselves to God like this, it has to start with humility. It's about letting go of those past difficulties and the ways of doing things that may not be fruitful. Divisions and grudges must cease. We must recognize that He is at work in us and through us. And only then may we be a light on a hill or salt and light to the earth. This is manifestly how God intends to use His church. See, because here's the thing. The result of Peter's miracle was not that Peter became more famous or that everybody just went on with their daily lives. The raising of Tabitha ultimately led to many people believing in the Lord. And as Peter grows in his apostolic role, more and more and more people come to Christ. That was the result of God's work in Peter. And that's the same result that we can depend on when He is at work in us. The patron saint, the patron of our church, is the Holy Spirit. He is here. He is active. He is powerful. And He is ready to take the church of the Holy Spirit to the next level of manifesting His power in us and through us. It starts with our hearts first. And then we impact our community. And then we change the world. So here's my sermon application for you today. You ready? Together, let's just be open to His work in us. Father, may your word find root in our hearts. May we humbly follow you. In Christ's name, amen.